Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, coming to you today from Studio B in the Oasis Network here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's David Ingalls and all the family of God here with their great work. You can find them at oasisnetwork.org, and I would like it if you'd go on. I think it may have been Brother Oral Roberts' last radio talk, and he gave it right here, and you can listen to it. It was in May 2009, and you just go on oasisnetwork.org, and you click on Roadshow, and then you click on Archives, and then you click on Tribute to Oral Roberts. Now, I'm here in Tulsa, right in the middle of so many things that are happening right now, and some of them, I spoke at Billy Joe Daugherty's church, and then Brother Roberts, we've done a tribute to him with his daughter yesterday here on the Roadshow. And I'm right in the middle of God's dealings with me about the homegoing of Brother Roberts. I told to you that in July, my son Chip, in July of 2007, my son Chip and I went to California and visited a day in his home. The Lord sent me with a message to him because Oral Roberts was trying to go home, trying to go from earth to heaven. And the Lord told me, give this message to, no, he just said this, tell Oral Roberts. Can you imagine being told to tell Oral Roberts? I thought it was with fear and trembling, but when I got there, it wasn't. It was easy because the room is so filled with God. He said, tell Oral Roberts that some men can choose the date of their departure, but others cannot. For some men and can choose according to what is revealed in the writings of the Apostle Paul. But the dates of other men's departures are in the sovereign plan of God. Two men who cannot choose their dates are Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. And at their departures, there will be a major shift in the heavenlies. So when I got the word that Oral Roberts has gone home, I sat at my prayer chair before my window where I look outside, and I was praying, what does this mean, Lord? What should we be looking for? And I began seeking him on that. He said something I didn't expect him to say. He said this, Oral Roberts knew to tap the power. Others simply lap the power. They run laps around it as if it were a burning bush. They see it. They know it's there, I thought. They even preach about it, but they don't know to tap it. Oral Roberts knew to tap the power. And then the Lord showed me a biblical example, the woman with the issue of blood. She tapped the power that was in our Lord Jesus Christ, the anointing of God, the dunamis, because the Bible says, when Jesus, she touched him, and he said, Jesus knowing that dunamis flowed out of him. She knew to tap it. Others were lapping it, touching him, jostling him. She received the benefits of that power. They did not. Now, there are six words translated power in the New Testament. They are the Greek words. And the two that probably you know about are number five, exousia. I'm going to say number five, which is coming from the Bible that Bullinger did the notes in. And E.W. Bullinger, in this Bible, the companion Bible, he gave these six words. And number five is exousia, authority. That's not the kind of power we're talking about today. Sometimes we do talk about that because you have authority where you are seated at the right hand of Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that next week. But we're talking about number one, dunamis. Dunamis is inherent power, the power of reproducing itself, from which we have the English dynamics and dynamo. It is the word in Acts 1:8, you shall receive dunamis after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, when there came that outpouring of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, there was dunamis, and that dunamis was displayed throughout the book of Acts. When there came the outpouring of the Holy Ghost at Azusa Street, and before that in Topeka, Kansas, there was a demonstration of the power. They told me the stories by Tommy Welchel and some other books, which talk about, it was the power, it was the dunamis displayed that drew the people to Azusa Street. It is the dunamis displayed the power of the Holy Ghost that's going to draw people in these last days to our Lord Jesus Christ. There must be a manifestation of the dunamis power of God, and we can pray for it. God wants us to have it. He doesn't want us to go without it. And I was so glad when I've been on a study of this now since the Lord spoke to me that day in the chair. We can pray for it. The Bible, you can't pray for faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I'm going to prove to you from the Bible that you can pray for dunamis. You can pray for a manifestation in your life of that dynamic power, dunamis. I'm reading to you right now from John G. Lake. It's a big book. Oh, has lots of pages, hundreds of pages. 546 pages. My friends Kenneth and Gloria Copeland put this book into print, and they did it because they knew, and we knew, John G. Lake's daughter. John G. Lake's daughter and son-in-law, Gertrude and Wilfred Wright, brought to us, I remember the first time I saw them, they were mimeographed. You're probably too young to even know what a mimeograph is. But they were a mimeographed 8.5 by 14 sheets of John G. Lake's unpublished sermons and letters and all kinds of things from his life. They came to see Brother Hagin, John G. Lake's daughter. She didn't know about Brother Hagin, but when she heard about him and what he was preaching, she brought her dad's, many of his letters and many of his things to Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin didn't know they were coming. He was going to Colorado to meetings. He walked in my office and brought these two little people from the West Coast, Upper West Coast, and he said, I didn't know they were coming. Can you entertain them till I get back? And in that room with John G. Lake's daughter, Kenneth E. Hagin, in my office, and John G. Lake's son-in-law, I heard some of the greatest things I ever heard in my life. She talked about her dad making his departure. And when he made his departure, John G. Lake, for 1 year, the Lord told him, you can go. You've done the work of three men. So your work is finished. And, of course, that was the Portland work, the Washington work, and the South African work. Your work is finished, but you have to pray. He knew he had to pray the anointing, that what was on him, on someone else, because he said, I didn't have anyone I could leave it with of my students. And finally, he said he did it. And Brother Hagin said, what year was that? And Gertrude said, that was 1936. Brother Hagin said, that's the very year I first heard the term healing rooms. John G. Lake had healing rooms. And Brother Hagin then got the burden for healing rooms. He told me personally, he said, many of the things I say, I didn't realize John Lake said them until I read his book. So in this book, I'm going to read to you the Portland Vision. John G. Lake received the baptism with the Holy Spirit in the early days at Azusa Street. And he saw the power of God. He went himself to South Africa. And this book has many of the powerful things that happened there. He went then to Washington. And then he went to Portland. He saw powerful things, and then he saw them wane. And this vision is called the Portland Vision that I'm going to be reading to you. It's on page 139 of the book. I'm not going to read the whole vision to you. He could not sleep, so he walked in the shadows of the tall trees in Mount Tabor Park. Shelley and I went to his house, which was across the street from Mount Tabor Park, there in Oregon. And we had this vision in our hand. We did a television program. And we walked from his house over to Mount Tabor Park. Now he said, this is quoting Lake in the vision. Through the park is a footpath coming down through the trees that leads out to the street where we live. And I was in the street at the foot of the footpath. And as I looked in the park, I was attracted by a quite brilliant light up in the park. It was very slowly coming down the pathway to the street. I stood somewhat surprised, supposing it was some night man on duty in the park, probably searching for something or somebody. As it approached, I discovered that instead it was an angel presence. And the brilliance was an illumination surrounding me. He stood a few feet from me and said to me, I've come to answer your prayers. Come with me. Now, Lake had been praying about why did this power wane? You know, wax, it grows stronger. Wane, it grows weaker. What has happened to this power we've known? So the angel then took him with some wreaths and took him over San Francisco, Honolulu, China, the Trans-Siberian Railway to Moscow and Petrograd, Johannesburg, South Africa, India, Palestine, and Portland. And the angel said to him in answering, I'm not reading you all the things that happened there and the wreaths they dropped, but his question was, what happened to the power? And the answer came to from the angel, human selfishness and human pride have consumed and dissipated the very glory and heavenly power that God once gave from heaven to this movement, as you have beheld tonight. That was that Pentecostal movement of the early 20th century. We were now at the foot of the pathway again. He took a step or two away, and in a sort of despair, my heart cried out, Angel, these are all struggling for want of an ideal. What constitutes real Pentecost? What ideal should be held before the minds of men as the will of God exhibited through a movement like this? During all this time, I had carried my Bible in my hand. Reaching for the Bible, the angel opened the book to the book of Acts, ran his finger down over the second page, that portion where the Spirit of God came down from heaven, proceeding through the book of Acts to its great outstanding revelations and phenomena, he said, this is Pentecost as God gave it through the heart of Jesus. Strive for this. Contend for this. Teach the people to pray for this. For this and this alone will meet the necessity of the human heart. And this alone will have the power to overcome the forces of darkness. When the angel was departing, he said, pray, pray, pray. Teach the people to pray. Prayer and prayer alone, much prayer, persistent prayer, is the door of entrance into the heart of God. Pray for this power of Pentecost. Remember Jesus said, you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The angel took his finger, ran down that book of Acts and said, pray for this manifestation of the dunamis power of God. Folks, we're not pressing God for something it's not time for. It was time for it in the book of Acts. It should never have waned. I'm telling you, this world is in a mess it wouldn't be in if the church of the living God had held on to the manifestation of the power of God and had not succumb to the attacks of the enemy to move in what the angel said was selfishness and human pride. Oh, folks, bless the Lord. I want you to have this book by John G. Lake because it tells you about the dunamis power of God that operated in his life. For only $10, if you'll call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447, or go on billybrim.org or write Box 40. You have to say you heard it on the radio, though, because this is only a radio offer. Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. And we're going to be talking more about the manifestation of this dunamis power of God that God wants you and me to manifest to this world. This world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What will the sons of God do? They'll be acting like God. They'll be ministering those things that Jesus ministered. Bless the Lord. You have a new year now. You can make a new year's resolution. Thank God for the dunamis power of God that came on me. And thank God I'm going to believe him for it.